Our loving God and Father, we thank you for the opportunity again to open your word. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. We again pray for those that are listening. We thank you for the very God-breathed scripture that's before us. And we just pray, Father, that you would encourage the hearts of those that hear the word. We see that the scripture says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And Lord, we just pray that the saints in Randolph County and listening would be built up in this most holy faith, the faith that is for everlasting. We thank you, Father, for Christ, our Savior. Amen. Okay, we're in 1 Timothy again, and we're in verse 3 of chapter 1. And today, let's just read verse 3 and 4. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they may teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So we see here a beginning, or rather the middle portion, of this charge that Paul gives to this individual he's encouraging along, Timothy. Well, he'll go on to mention what the law means and how it is good if it is used lawfully, as it's mentioned here in the New Testament, that it's actually for those that are sinners and disobedient. It's a mirror to them to show them of their sin. We are not living under the law. We're living under the fact that Christ is our master. Yet now, let us see this charge in verse 3 and 4. It's picked up once again as he closes chapter 1. But he says, I besought thee, speaking to Timothy, to abide still at Ephesus. Now let's turn, as we think of this city of Ephesus, there's a book obviously written to the church at Ephesus. Our brother Mark is studying that. And also we see in the book of Acts how it's mentioned. In chapter 20, if you would like to turn there, we can see a real clear illustration of what's going on there at this point in Ephesus. In chapter 20 of Acts, we see this is at a different time, but we would just like to give you a flavor of what's going on at Ephesus. It says in verse 17, and from Miletus, this is Paul, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And then it said in verse 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, and we'll stop there, and he gives them a little speech, and he goes on, and as we have come down to verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Verse 28, he's speaking to the elders of Ephesus. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now that's a tremendous portion. He goes on to warn these ones at Ephesus in verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one, night and day, with tears. So Paul is warning the elders, those that are in the leadership at the church at Ephesus, that there will be perverse ones, perverse things spoken, unsound doctrine will be brought in to this one local assembly at Ephesus. So Paul is encouraging them to take heed. And then later we see how, when speaking to Timothy, he said, abide still in Ephesus. In other words, Timothy was encouraged to help with the work there, you know, to combat against that unsound doctrine. As we go back to 1 Timothy 1:3, He says that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Anything that's not consistent with the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of the Scriptures, the God-breathed Scriptures. Paul encouraged Timothy to help with the work there at Ephesus. Now, as we have noted that, let us remember here, dear Christians, remember this. Pay particular attention to this, that when Timothy was told to stay at Ephesus, a lot of times people assume that that means that he was the one-man show there. He was a one-man ministry. But as we have clearly read in Acts 20, that the situation there was that there was the elders, a group of spiritual leaders, not one man taking all the responsibility. For we see in verse 17 that Paul called for the elders of that church to go to Miletus, to talk to him, to listen to what he has to say as he's departing. Paul, being an apostle, gave them instruction. And when he did, in verse 28, the ones he had just called elders, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. That's speaking of the Christians, the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Now that word overseers is the same word in the Greek, according to Greek concordances and your Greek scholars, it's clear that that word overseer is the same word for bishop. When we turn back to 1 Timothy and over there in Titus, it will speak of the qualifications of those that are bishops or overseers. So we see here that the word elders and overseers are interchangeable. They're speaking of the same people. Then it says to feed the church of God. Now that is a phrase that means to tend or to shepherd. There we see the term for pastor. So what we have from this is that when we see in the local churches, I'm not speaking of the Jewish ones back in the Gospels or back in the Old Testament, but when we see in the epistles, which was developed in Acts, we see that a group of elders is the same term for overseers or bishops, is the same term for those that tend or feed the flock or your pastors. The word elders, bishops, overseers, and pastors are interchangeable. These are those that lead a local group of Christians. And it is also interesting to note in verse 28 that Paul told them, it's the Holy Ghost which has made you overseers. My friend, we can go and study the Scriptures, which is great. We can go to a Bible college or to seminary, and if it's a fundamental one, I'm not saying it's wrong. You can do that. You can gain knowledge. But you can have as many degrees as you want behind your name, and that will not make you an overseer. That will not make you, in the eyes of God, rather, it will not make you a shepherd of the flock. For the Holy Ghost must have raised you up to do that specific work. Sometimes, and many times, you may be gifted in another area. God uses us in different ways. That's why we're called the body of Christ. We work together. The hand and the foot and the leg and the arm, we all work together. We're not all a foot. We're not all a hand. So we work together, Christ being the head of the body. So it's the Holy Ghost which has raised ones up to be the leaders of a local assembly. And again, we could turn to other portions. We can see in Acts 13 where Paul and Barnabas was sent out to be missionaries, that they were of a group of five men, which were the prophets and teachers of the church of Antioch. So we see there was a group of men leading that assembly, not just one man. We turn over to James 5, and it tells us that if any be sick among you, call for the elders of the church, not one man. There was a group of men leading that assembly, whichever assembly he was speaking of. It says, if there's any sick among you, call for the elders. We also see in Philippians 1:1, when Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he says, to the saints, to the bishops, plural, and to the deacons. All three are plural, saints. Obviously, we have to have a group of people. Bishops, there's your group of leaders. your deacons, there's your group of assistants to the leaders. That is the New Testament pattern. And I wanted to make that clear from the outset, because as we look at these pastoral epistles, sometimes people just assume because Paul wrote a personal letter to an individual that that condones a one-man ministry. My friend, if I wrote a letter to an individual, I'm not going to address it to anybody but to the one I'm encouraging. The only time you see bishop ever used in a singular term in the New Testament is when it's talking about their qualifications, such as in 1 Timothy and in Titus. But all the other times that you study this very subject of those that are in leadership, it's always in a plural sense. My friend, why take a responsibility that has put so many people in Christian leadership in depression and has just put them in straits of all the stress and tension of trying to do all the work by themselves? My friend, the New Testament pattern is not a preference. The New Testament pattern is here for our learning. When we see that in the first 100 years of the local churches, of the church age, we should say, that the body of Christ was led in each individual body, each local assembly, each local church, with a group of men, we see by that we see the example that is sprinkled throughout the Scripture, throughout the New Testament, not just the Acts, but through the epistles. And I would encourage you, as Paul told Timothy to stay at Ephesus to help with the work, you know, Timothy being an extension of Paul's work, Paul being an apostle, there had to be some encouragement there to stay away from things that were not consistent with the doctrine of Christ. He had warned them earlier, Paul did, to teach and to warn against false doctrine. Then here he tells Timothy, teach no other doctrine. Christ, in the doctrine of Christ, this is the only sound doctrine, the Word of God. Now, as we see in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, we see in verse 4, it continues, it says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Now, we see here, we could take the illustration of one group that distorts the person of Christ. We think of Mormonism, how they are known for their endless genealogies. You can go to a library and see how they have books and books and books of genealogies that they have kept in the United States in recent centuries. We see there that Timothy is encouraged not to give heed to fables and endless genealogies. That just brings questions, Paul says, rather than godly edifying. The term godliness, tremendous study in 1 Timothy. We'll look at that. And it's also a tremendous study as you open up the book of Titus. But godliness, edification by godly, rightly dividing the word of truth, that is what we need. Not endless genealogies and fables. Today we've been looking at 1 Timothy, the first four verses. This is, Lord willing, we'll continue in chapter 1 the next couple of days as well. Join us for the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. For Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. And anyone that has questions or comments, write us at P.O. Box 689 in Ramsor, North Carolina. P.O. Box 689. Have a good and godly day.